Unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Welcome to Voice America Sports. Hope it's a good Wednesday. Kind of feel weird, folks, when thinking that, for the most part, and now that we got bowl games, meaning all-star games coming up and Senior Bowl, that's kind of weird, huh? And then I open up the paper and we already got the schedule, spring schedules for all 30 teams. It's hard to believe. I just finished watching this World Series. I mean, it just literally got done. And I'm sitting here looking, we're going to crown a new champion, or at least start the crown of a new champion. In February it starts. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. And congrats to my guy Ron Rivera. Finally gets his first chance at 49 years old to be the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. And Ron will do it right. He got really simple philosophy. Comes from very good training, offensive training, North Turner. He was coached by Mike Ditka, so he understands the competitive fires. And he knows how to coach defense. He played on a Buddy Ryan defense, and he gets it. And Ron will do well. Ron, a lot of people like Ron. That's part of it, but you can still be intimidated by him. Was a good football player and did a great job with San Diego's defense as their coordinator. I'm glad he finally got his chance. Ron deserved it. He'll do Carolina well, and by building a team, and I love that it's pretty simple. And the way Ron said it, and how many times have I said it? Have I said this? And apparently, Ron and I are on the same coaching philosophy page. We hear the word coaching, 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 too often, overrated. Ron says he wants to have people be taught in the classroom and on the field. Teachers. There's a lot of coaches that coach. There's not a lot of coaches that teach. There's many coaches at the next level that think that the guy should already know what he's supposed to do, so they're just coaching plays, and they're actually coaching situations. They don't teach. And sadly enough, mechanics and the rest of it suffer, so the kid doesn't get better, or the veteran doesn't get better, or falls into some old traps. Teaching, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this. Teaching is more important than coaching at the next level. Coaching happens on Sundays. You know, it's third down and seven. Offensive coordinator, what do you want to run? Defensive coordinator, what pressure are we going to use? That's coaching. That's, you know what? Man, we got to make a play. This is what we do. This is what you've prepared your football life to do, to coach them up when it's time, to get the most out of them, to grab a guy who I don't think should have to be motivated through a coach, but sometimes they do. And maybe it's those guys that the coach has to grab because your real special football players don't motivate Tom Brady to get ready for this weekend. Coach doesn't have to say two words. If a coach has to say two words, then I would imagine that the team where the coach has to do a lot of talking isn't going to win a football game. It's just usually the way it works. But you don't have to say much. You coach them on Sundays. You teach them 6 days a week. Teach them at halftime. Coach them during the games, and the key is don't overcoach them during the games. It's like trying, have you ever gone out and taken a golf lesson like an hour before you're going to hit the first tee box? What inevitably happens? You suck. You said there, hey, just turn your grip a little. You want to draw the ball. Here, just take your lower hand and just tilt it to the right a little bit so you can get your hands through and the ball draw. And that's how the pros do it in golf. You know, it's not the club where it is. It's where the hands are adjusted. That's how you draw it and how you cut it. And, you know, you want to hit a knockdown shot, but, you know, put it back in your stance. You want to hit whatever it is. But when you're hearing all that, a golf lesson, I hear a lot of people, I'm going to go get a lesson before we go play, a teaching lesson on the range. Inevitably, you know you better bet that guy because you'll take his money. It's the taking the lesson a month before and then the week before, then working on the game on the course, boom, got to be ready to play. It's the same in football. I'm not giving you any teaching lessons in the middle of the second quarter of the second playoff game. Ron Rivera won't do that either. I'll coach you in the second quarter. Hey, did you see the secondary? The safety's playing over the top. They're having a tendency to roll coverage to Wes Welker, and they're playing in-and-out coverage on him, Tom, on third and seven. So, I mean, he may look inside, but you may get a little sneaky coverage on Deion Branch on the outside. So on third and seven, they're playing in-and-out coverage on Wes Welker. So just be alert. Watch for the safety play, and Tom will peek this. That's coaching. you're teaching a little bit too, but that's coaching because they've gone over the teaching part and how the team plays all week long. Just a reminder, the coaching thing. And then it's being able to call plays under pressure, coaching. But the other 6 days of the week, you're teaching. And unfortunately, there's plenty of coaches who do not teach, folks. I've been on teams. They don't say, well, your feet are in bad position. They say, well, why did you, come on, you know where to throw it. I've been on it. There's not a whole lot of teaching. There's coaching. And they don't, the teaching bypasses them. The great coaches teach and coach. And I think Ron's got a chance to be really good. He's got to get some players. He doesn't get any players. Ron will be out of a job in 5 years. And he knows it too. So keep an eye on. I'm glad the Carolina got themselves a guy who's played, coached, and has an attitude. And now Ron will go out to put a staff together that has the same philosophy as he does in a really good place with good ownership in Carolina and pretty damn loyal for quite some time there. So they can turn it around quickly. But it's going to start with the guy that takes snaps from center, and they don't have one of those guys yet. Other things going around. Michigan, how are you guys? And I know I start this off with coaching. We got all week long to the rest of the half week to break down the games. So we'll get to it. And I mentioned yesterday, too, about Cam Newton. And we're talking about Auburn, and, you know, people don't want to talk about it. Hey, they won, they did. But there's still the argument over TCU, and they're having a big TV special here in Dallas for TCU, their perfect 13-0 season. They think they should be in the national title game as far as a playoff, and they should. But all eyes are, because after title, all eyes are still on Newton. Newton meaning Cam Newton. Is he going to the draft? Is he staying back? The case has not been closed, so this is a very, very relevant topic to be going after, and that's why we had to talk about it yesterday. He's enjoying this now, but it's probably not going to get easier for him in the next couple months. With all that, he's got to make some quick decisions on his future as well. Also, Michigan fans, are you happy? You got Brady Hoke, success at Ball State. Success at San Diego State, and the first coach in quite some time that actually made San Diego State interesting. It actually made San Diego State football interesting. The number here is 888-346-9144. Now, Michigan couldn't give it away. And they talked to a lot of big names. They talked to NFL people. They talked to college people. They talked to alum, you know, from Pat Fitzgerald and Les Miles. They couldn't give the job away. Harbaugh could not give it away. So they went to the guy who wanted the job, and it's quite an upgrade facilities-wise and crowd-wise and football tradition-wise. And I grew up in San Diego, football tradition-wise, to make the jump from San Diego State to Michigan. San Diego State fans, I think, appreciate it and understand it. Brady Hoke actually did put them on the map and got them back to where they're respectful. They respect themselves, the program, but the other programs respect them. You know, it'd be great someday if San Diego State could put a $40,000, $50,000 seat stadium at their, you know, right next to campus, but it's a commuter school. They play it, you know, they play at Qualcomm. It's not conducive to a team that's not going to draw that much. Now they're drawing more and more and more, and Brady Hoke got that excited. People are fired up, but, you know, it'd be nice if they could ever get it to where the fans treated San Diego State like the Chargers, but, you know, that's a school that likes to surf and likes to play. So what Brady Hoke did was work some damn miracles to get people interested in the program. And it isn't ironic how one program starts to get going, the other one picks up. Look what Steve Fisher, former coach of the Fab Five, is doing at a top 10 basketball team in the country at San Diego State. San Diego State may end up being that type of Gonzaga team or Butler team that can make a run in the tournament and really make a splash. They're playing great basketball. So it almost becomes contagious. One program, San Diego State, has not been this excited about their programs. Tony Gwynn's obviously your baseball coach. San Diego State's always got a chance. Good baseball programs in San Diego. A lot of top picks come out of there high school-wise. So think about it. One breeds the other that breeds the other, and it's just one begat one. And now you've got people. I've never seen San Diego State more excited. I mean, while Brady Hoke was there and with Steve Fisher and Tony Gwynn, I've never seen San Diego State more excited in my life since I grew up there. This is as excited they've been about their football program, maybe since the early 80s. I mean, when Doug Scovel was there and they were throwing the ball and they had some All-Americans and Todd Santos and, I mean, throwing the ball, they were excited. And Marshall Faulk, you know, I mean, Marshall Faulk, but I'm talking about as an overall team. And when Faulk was there, they were excited, obviously, having that player. I'm just talking about the overall sports program. They haven't had this much excitement there in years. But now Brady Hoke leaves to Michigan. Michigan fans, you okay with this? You like this? Energetic? Ball State and San Diego State ain't Michigan, but you know what? He's got to have far better players at that university. So I give him credit. And they're not going to be running no spread option. They're going to be throwing it, and they're going to be moving it around and run it also. So they got their guy. And then San Diego State's going to turn right around and hire a guy who in New Mexico had no success. But Rocky Long's going to take over. He's on the program. He's going to take over as head coach. San Diego State fans, do you like that? There's not many jobs left open now. Michigan's got their guy. San Diego State's keeping Rocky Long on staff. The LSU keeping Les Miles, like I said. And I think Les Miles made the right move, folks, even though it's, you know, I don't agree with a lot of things Les Miles does on the field, but he wins. And LSU's program is in a better place and a better program than Michigan's. It's just that simple. Football programs, I'm sorry to tell you, it just is. It just is. Les Miles isn't getting fired at LSU because they're going to continue to win and get great recruits. You don't know what's happening. We still don't know if Michigan's going to be any good 3 years from now. Average, good, great, who knows? Potential to be great. Look at their fans, the fan base, where they play. Should be great. This program should we should never be sitting here saying, ooh, is Michigan going to get to a bowl game? That should never be an issue for the Wolverines. Never. 888-346-9144, SeanSalz@gmail.com. And now what's left? Tulsa and Stanford, as far as the big job. Connecticut's going to go get Mark Whipple, former coordinator, I think, at the U. Pretty sure they're close to closing that one out. So Whipple's going to go coach Connecticut. So all around now is Stanford going to hire within? Now people are interviewing coordinators all over the place and coaching staffs in the NFL and college, piecing staffs together. So really, I mean, there's probably a few others, but Tulsa, their coach leaving to go coach at Pitt, and Stanford. Chris Peterson turned that down. I mean, do they go try to get an NFL guy? Do you go get a guy that's had Bill Walsh background from the day and Brian Billick, who coached me? Would Brian want to coach college? I mean, the Cleveland Browns are still looking. Perry Fuel interviewed with them. Pat Shermer. Fritz Shermer was a defensive coordinator and a coach with Mike Holmgren for a lot of years. So does he go after Fritz's son? There's even been whispers about John Gruden in Cleveland with that background. So, I've even heard background whispers that Mike Sherman to the Cleveland Browns, which would leave Texas A&M open. Now, I don't know how true that is. I'm just telling you about rumors. My guy Mike Leach isn't getting a sniff anywhere. And they're falling. I mean, you'd think a school like Tulsa would call a guy like Mike Leach and say, listen, man, you'll put seats and people in the stands. Just don't know if it's going to happen for him now. It's too bad. I like Mike. And it just goes to show you when things, rumors and talk, and some of it just starts to flow around, that you can get beat into the ground. And I hope it works out for him. But you know what? Some programs are moving forward and doing it. Stanford's a plus job. How would you like that? You're going to end up in the top five preseason rankings. You got the Heisman Trophy winner sitting in your pocket. When I say Heisman Trophy, we're the Heisman Trophy favorite going into next year, depending on Cam Newton's situation. But the best quarterback in America, and it's not close when it comes to the next level, is Andrew Luck. You got that. You got a 12-1 team, and you got a preseason top five team, and they can't find a coach. Now, that's a situation, if you're a head coach, you want to get to. You want to go there. That's a cool gig. If you're an offensive-minded coach, you get to come in and say, that's nice. I don't have to do much, just not getting Andrew Luck's way. It's in one of the most beautiful parts of the country. You don't have to worry about keeping your players academically eligible because they're all pretty self-starters and disciplined. You win. You got one of the best overall sports programs when it comes to what that Sears Trophy or whatever it is that rewards the best athletic, academic, of all sports teams. You get that trophy. They win it all the time. With volleyball and soccer and swimming and football and basketball and baseball. I mean, Stanford always wins that. What a great place. And if you've never been to Palo Alto, it's heavenly. So, what a gig. And you know what the thing that is, I mean, how long can these teams afford to wait? College and NFL. How long can you afford to wait before you're so far behind the eight ball you're in a scramble mode? To me, it's almost like a player holding out a training camp and then coming in and trying to have a great season. It rarely happens. And I know the season's just ended, the NFL season's going on, but, you know, if you're the Cleveland Browns, let's use them for instance. Now, I'm probably not as tough in the NFL as it is in college to getting recruits and having to sign and travel to go into living rooms. You can study tape on other players, and obviously free agency hasn't kicked in the NFL. So you can kind of slow it down, but you're still trying to get staff straight. You got to get your coaching staff because some guy may say, I don't know who's going to go and sign a new contract as an assistant with somebody else, and you lose out on that good coach because some coach is going to want to bring his staff in. And somebody that used to be on his staff, let's say Tony Dungy took a job, and there was guys on his staff, but maybe they've signed on with somebody else because they don't know if Tony's going to take the gig and somebody was taking long, bam. Or if you're John Gruden and Gruden's like still talking, let's say, and gets on Cleveland staff, well, a bunch of John's guys may not be there because they may be under contract somewhere else with somebody else and don't want to leave. So you get to a point, if you're Cleveland, the study and tape and get ready for the combine, there's still much to do to scout who the NFL, who the free agents are going to be, who would we possible trade for, and what kind of staff are we going to have. In college, if you're Stanford, recruiting season, I mean, there's a lot to do, which the longer it goes on, the more you think Stanford probably hires within to keep the same. Will they hire within a coordinator to keep the same rhythm going? So it's really interesting how you do it. But I rarely see a quarterback hold out a training camp for most of training camp and have a good year. Favre didn't have a good year this year. He held out. Rarely. Tell me the last time a quarterback held out a training camp and had a monster season. For that matter, anybody. You'll always, receiver holds out, boom, hamstring. Running back holds out, boom, maybe a knee. Think about it. Especially on the offensive side of the ball. You just can't simulate that in your off-season workouts, the same thing you can during training camp. And it's the same with this. The longer you wait in the evaluation process, the further you are behind in the evaluation process for your new staff in the NFL and to go out and get recruits. And if I'm a recruit and I'm considering Cal and Stanford, Cal's got their coach, and Stanford, let's say Stanford takes another week. Aren't you a little concerned if you're a senior in high school and you're trying to make your final decision? I would be. I sure would be. So it's just interesting. Boom, going here. A lot of questions about who's going where. The Cowboys, obviously, trying to bring some coaches in to interview for their staff. Are they looking for a new defensive coordinator? I think they... You know, Greg Minuski interviewed former San Francisco 49er coordinator. I mean, there's a lot of different people, a lot of different things got to shape up. So it's a great process. But most of the coaching now, situation settled. And in Michigan, are you okay with Brady Hoke? I guess you probably considered an upgrade from Rich Rodriguez, yet it's so funny. 3 years ago, everybody on the planet loved Rich Rodriguez. Well, he was a hot commodity from West Virginia. Now, there'd been a little trouble in salary and recruiting situation. But boy, hot commodity, and coming here, and people were excited, and I can't believe how quick people wanted to push Lloyd Carr out the door. Lloyd Carr going 10-1, 10-2, 9-2, 9-3, 10-2, and everybody wanted to shove Lloyd Carr out the door. And Lloyd Carr was a hell of a football coach. So be careful what you wish for. You shove Lloyd Carr out the door, the program hasn't been the same. Has barely been competitive since. Now, can Brady Hoke redo that? And I'm fine, and people stop the, you got to be a Michigan guy talk, or you got to be a USC guy talk. No, you don't. You sure as hell don't. Give me a break. Ken Norton played at UCLA and was there coaching, and then Ken Norton came over and been a linebacker coach at USC for the longest time. Coached them just fine through our national championship runs he's live with Pete Carroll there. Ken was a UCLA guy. Sure didn't harm USC. Didn't bother us. Norm Chow was a BYU guy. Became an SC guy and taught a bunch of quarterbacks how to win Heisman trophies and national titles. So I don't want to hear that you got to be a Florida State guy to coach Florida State. No, you got to understand their tradition and teach the kids that are there to grow into Florida State. What is Gene Chizik an Auburn guy? Didn't take him but a couple years to win a national title. So much for that. It's called being a great leader and hiring great assistant coaches that know how to recruit great players. Then you're a champion. We're coming back. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered. Coaching and setting it up, and the Jets just keep antagonizing the Patriots. Be careful what you wish for, Jets. You may take the biggest ass-whooping on the planet this weekend if you're not careful. We'll be back.
You
your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day, on the radio, and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. On Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSauls at gmail.com. That's SEANSALS at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, so, you know, building this thing as a coaching staff, and that's why so much coaching talk right now is because it's so important to get started quick. The last thing you want to do is be behind in a chase mode right off the bat, and some teams will be. Some teams will be. And I let you know what's interesting. We didn't hear much talk about Carolina the whole time. Then, bam, Ron gets signed and it's done. Love it. Not a whole lot of banter. Cleveland's going through, oh, what do we do, what do we do? And see, the problem with Mike Holmgren is he's got so many buddies in the business. Who does he give it to? Sometimes you got to look beyond your buddy and give it to the best coach. Give it to the best coach. And every day that goes by, the more I think about it. I love the broadcasting business, folks. I love doing TV. I love doing radio. I love being unfiltered. I love it all. But man alive, when I turned down the quarterback coach opportunity that would have led to the offensive coordinator opportunity in the same year because the old coordinator got fired that year in Arizona. I have regrets in my life. We all do. We all have regrets. Things you'd like to do over. Who doesn't? Mistakes, the great decisions you made. But I know decisions that I have made end up shaping my life better than the decisions I haven't. Whether that be good or bad, but they've shaped it. Well, in the long term, if you do it right, it all ends up being good. Adversity is a good thing. It does. And if it builds character, damn, I've got a little bit of it. But I sometimes look at it, and I wake up every morning, and outside my kids and my dad, and you know the preparation I do for the show, one of the first things I think about is, man, I'd like to be waking up, putting tape together, and getting the team ready to play. And so it's something that grinds on me. And when I turned this job down, it was one of the hardest decisions I had to do was turn Denny Green down in Arizona. Because you feel like you can make a difference. That's the ego of all coaches. You know, you feel like I'd have taught that quarterback far better than they were teaching him. And you feel, you know, man, that would have been an awesome gig. And then you go through and everything's going well at your current job. And then when you're done with that, you say, oh, man, I'd like to do it again. But I never, even throughout my whole career, I've always had the itch. The problem is my nails are long and I got a really big itch and I'm trying to reach and scratch it. And I think that it's something that I really would love and want to do. I love this business. Being on here every day, you kidding me? But it's sure something I'd like to put it this way. If I got a call tomorrow from one of them, I don't know if I could turn it down. And it wouldn't. I'm not sure it'd matter where. Tulsa, San Diego State, New York Jets, Patriots. It wouldn't matter. I would, because I'm one of those guys that believes just enough that if I was a quarterback coach or coaching for 5 years, that it wouldn't take me long to climb the ladder. I don't mean that area. It's just that I've, even though I haven't been coaching per se, I've been preparing for this day most of my football life. When I study play, when I study to watch games, I study it from a coach's point of view. When I listen to games, I listen to them from a broadcaster's point of view. I don't watch them from a fantasy football point of view. I don't watch them from a, oh, that's my best buddy point of view. It sucks because there's sometimes you just want to sit back and eat chips and, hey, man, there's my boy. Go get him. But even then, I've been programmed now to watch it two different ways. I listen for the broadcaster's point of view. I watch for the coach's point of view and always have. So while I haven't been on the field, I mean, I go to Peyton Manning's thing and coach and have talked to Peyton Manning about it and, you know, and a lot of people in Del Rio. I've spent a lot of time talking, things I want to do, taking notes my whole life. And I finally get to the point where I say, man, I'm ready. I got that energy to do it. And so who knows? If I do this for the rest of my life, I'm great with that. But it just hits, and the more at this time of year, my heart starts pounding 100 miles an hour because I think, man, wouldn't it be great if I had that one call that Harbaugh said, Sean, come to San Francisco and coach Alex Smith. And, you know, and I'm not saying Jim's going to do that, don't misunderstand, but it's something that you'd love to do. And I'm not much of a self-promoter on that and getting the word out to people that I want to coach. But I am starting to try that. I'd love to, you know, if this is, let's say a guy like Marty Morningwig left and went to Cleveland, and there's been rumors that he's going to have an interview, or they're trying to set one up. Let's say he left and took a quarterback coach, and Andy Reid said, Sean, come coach Mike Vick and Kevin Cobb, or both, or one of the other. Oh, my gosh, I couldn't be in Philadelphia fast enough. Take less to go to a place like that than you wouldn't brought. I mean, you know, if you said you're going to be an offensive coordinator in 2 years or you can go do Monday Night Football, I'm not sure. Well, I wouldn't take the coaching thing. It's hard and it's brutal and it's long, but that's what I do, folks. That's me. So I look at this, and this is why I get so excited talking about this coach situation is, man, the being around the guys and making a difference and the competitive fires. And you get a lot of that from doing TV and radio, and I do. I love it, and I love the banter and you guys checking in and going for it and the matching wits and learning new things we do every day. But I also know, man, if you're like Brady Hoke right now, you're so excited. You're in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and you're going to prepare, and you can't help but your stomach, the butterflies and the excitement of knowing the first home game in a big house, let alone that, how awesome spring training, I mean, you know, spring practice is. I love those things. I love them. Love them. Just got to find the right thing where some guy says, I'll give you a chance, because I've always said, just put me in the situation and I'll in any job that I do, I'll prove to you with my production, not with my talk. Because you know what, I'm a production guy if I'm hiring somebody or if I'm working. You know, I don't care how you skin it. Just do it legally and skin it. Get it done. That's all I care about. If I'm hiring, if I'm a head coach hiring, make sure you lead my kids and make sure you teach them. And I don't care how you get them in the end zone legally, or I don't care how you get this broadcast on the air legally, get it done. Be a needle mover on TV, or be a game changer in coaching. Needle mover meaning be a guy that when people tune in, they tune in because they want to hear what you have to say. And so that's the way I look at it. I think big, and I think big picture, but I don't get ahead of myself. But, you know, I just look at this coach like, man, if I was Jim Harbaugh, I am so pumped to get up every day to go to work. I got to go fix a team. What a great feeling. And there's no way you can simulate being a player other than being a coach. That's as close as you'll ever get again to that competition. So who knows? Who knows? But I love it, and if I ever get the chance, I don't think I'll ever pass on it again. Matter of fact, not only do I don't think, I won't, if that situation comes down the pike. That being said, we're talking about this now, football, coaching, what's going on. You know, it's interesting, too. We talked about Cam Newton and the situation yesterday, and Auburn went in and giving them kudos and all that. Decision, does he go? Where is he going to be picked? NC2A investigation. You know what? Talk now is that people saw Cam Newton hugging his dad in the stands after the game. Remember, Auburn said they weren't getting his dad a ticket. He wasn't coming to the game, staying at his hotel to watch the game on TV. Not so fast, my friend. They said we didn't get him the ticket. And you know what? I love the fact that he came to the game and thumbed his nose at Auburn. Okay, Auburn, you don't want to give me the ticket? That ain't no problem. I got $180,000. I can buy a ticket from the scalping. I got over 180 grand. I can go buy a ticket from somebody standing on the street and pay twice the price if I want. I'm obviously kind of just joking about that. But he got a ticket somewhere and supposedly was in the stands watching the game. And he was in the stands and he hugged his kid after the game. I don't know with the crowd if he actually stayed at a hotel, sprinted across the street to get into the stands and hug his kid. I would assume he had a ticket to the game. And you know what? I think that's great. If Auburn would have told me I couldn't go to a game and my kid was playing in it, I'd have told them they can kiss my lily white ass. They can't keep me from going to a game. What are they going to do? Not start my son because I'm at the game? Right. Hell, the NC2A didn't even have the balls to investigate deep enough before the game. So what, the home team, the meal ticket and Gene Chizik's meal ticket and Auburn's meal ticket, you're going to sit him down because the dad's in the stands and it's best for Cam? Let me have a break. First of all, the dad's a grown-up man. And Cam's a grown-up, okay? Running football, dealing with pressure. I don't think it was going to hurt his feelings or make him nervous if his dad was in the stands watching. I don't agree with what's gone on in the Mississippi State thing. I'm not talking about the football part. I'm talking about the dad factor, the dad and son factor. And I actually think how dare Auburn to have the balls enough to step there and tell their son, tell their meal ticket Heisman Trophy winner, and the only reason this team got to the point they got to. Now, it wasn't the only reason they won in the finals. No Cam Newton this year, folks. They're, what, six games maybe? Qualify for an early December, mid-December bowl game? Yeah, that's about what it is. Six, seven wins in the toughest conference in football, SEC. So if what are you going to do? And I know Cam doesn't want to ruffle the feathers and, you know, do those things. Bottom line is, I think he knew deep down all his old man was going to be at the game. He knew deep down. And good for that. Good for him. Good for him to find his dad and hug him after the game. He's still his dad. Don't agree with what they did NC2A regulations-wise. Then again, I don't agree with the NC2A and the way they approach their investigations and the way they do things. Their rules are stupid, number one. They're set up to fail. But even then, Camp could have laughed in Gene Chizik's face and the athletic director's face. Say, really? My dad's not coming? We'll get him a ticket some other way. Nice try. What's Auburn going to do? That's like Bill Belichick going to Brady and saying, if you don't cut 2 inches off your hair, I'm not going to start you. As good as much pull as Bill had, Tom look him in the face and laugh. What's Bill going to do, start the backup? Come on. There's certain guys you just can't. There's certain situations that a coach could get to a certain point and do all he wants. If Darrell Revis tells Rex Ryan that he doesn't feel like eating a pregame meal and he's going to miss the night meeting because he's got a little bit of a stomachache and he needs to sleep, what do you think Rex is going to say? Love to have you there, D, but you're the best football player in the NFL, so, and we are playing Tom Brady tomorrow. Get down here. You're not starting. Really? Really? So when it comes down to it, there is a double standard, folks. And that double standard goes directly, fingers pointed directly at superstars. And you're going to tell me Jim Caldwell? If Jim Caldwell would have had the sense, he'd have looked over at Peyton Manning on the sideline and said, should we call timeout here? And I like Jim. Look over Peyton Manning when their defense was on the field trying to stop the last drive. Should have saved the timeout or saved it for the kick. But when they're rolling just to interrupt the drive, instead of making the Jets hurry, not enough people talk about this, and my man James McDonough sent me a message saying nobody's talking about it, and I wanted to talk about it, and I am talking about it. That was an awful choice of timeouts by Jim Caldwell, made no sense, and you saw Manning's reaction on the sideline. Well, what are you doing? Holding his hands out like, are you kidding? Well, make them, put the pressure on them to use their timeout and to force themselves to play too fast. Philadelphia did it. The next day, Philadelphia played too fast, and Mike Vick threw an interception. And it ain't exactly like with his 30 quarterback rating that Sanchez has been hot as fire. He's capable of throwing it to the other team or dropping a snap. That's the way they should have done it. But if Jim Caldwell would have looked over at Peyton Manning, like he does every single time Manning's on the field as an offense and running practice, and Pate said, don't use the timeout, Caldwell wouldn't have used the timeout. Superstars rule in pro sports. Don't ever forget it. And the superstars are bigger than the coach. Yep, sure they sure are, folks. They sure are. Let's get to Anthony out in New York. Anthony, what's going on?
Hey, Sean, what's going on?
All right, bud, how are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. I actually, you just touched on the Caldwell thing. I wanted to talk about that because I meant to talk about it the other day. It kind of like just slipped my mind. The whole calling the timeout. I was actually watching the game at a sports bar, so I was watching it without any sound. So I didn't understand what was going on. And then I said, did Caldwell just call a timeout? The Colts called it. You know, I couldn't, you know, trying to understand exactly what was going on.
Right.
And I could not believe, you know, this is the second time this year. I spoke to you the first time he did it in Jacksonville where he cost them the game by calling a timeout.
Yes, he sure did.
You know, and this is the second time. You know, he kind of gets a free pass, you know, because he was handpicked by Dungy. So it's kind of like one of these things, well, if Dungy picked him, he must be good. Yeah. Here's a guy, you know, I looked up, you know, exactly what he did before he came to the NFL. He was 12-52 coaching at Wake Forest. You know, went to the NFL, never even had a real position with a team, just kind of followed Dungy around as like this next successor. You know,
he helped coach quarterbacks. He was a quarterback coach for Peyton Manning. And I like Jim. Don't misunderstand. It's not personal. Jim's a good, sweet man. But as a quarterback coach in Indianapolis, if you're going to judge me by that, let me coach Manning for 1 year and watch him go throw 40 touchdowns, which would be on him, not on me. It's like coaching Tiger Woods.
Right, exactly.
Just get out of the way. And then, oh, yeah, boy, that was great. I coached Peyton Manning. Does that make me a genius? No, right. It just makes you really smart to take a job with the most prepared football player that's ever lived. This happens to be your quarterback.
Yeah, no, because I look at, you know, the whole, like, Indianapolis coaching tree. It's kind of like Dungy kind of felt like he owed people something. Because if you look at their offensive coordinator / quarterbacks coach now, it's a guy, Clyde Christensen, who coached with Tampa Bay in the late 90s when their offense was absolutely anemic.
Well,
and
Clyde was an assistant offensive line coach in Minnesota starting out there when Dungy was our defensive coach. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah,
he had him there. Tom Moore, who's been great
right.
in football forever, and Tom Moore's more than qualified. But you know who recruited Tony Dungy at the University of Minnesota?
Who was that?
And coach, or should I say, did he recruit him in Minnesota? Maybe. Did he coach him in Pittsburgh? I believe he was coaching in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And Tony was playing.
Oh, okay.
Long relationship with Tom and Tony.
Right, okay.
John Teerlink, the defensive line coach, was our defensive line coach when Tony was our defensive coach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you're exactly right. That's the problem and the good thing about this business. Guys handpick their buddies or they've been with forever.
Right.
And sometimes bypass coaches that are better.
Mm-hmm.
Because no offense, I hate to say it, and this is not a knock on Jim Caldwell.
Right.
When Tony Dungy and Tony's a hell of a coach and a hell of a guy, and it seems like if Tony recommended me to somebody, I'd probably have four jobs because Tony's like
yes.
God in when it comes to the recommendation and going and talking to people, and everybody loves Dungy. I mean, and I get it, and I love Tony.
Mm-hmm.
All you need, if you got his recommendation behind you, guess what? You're in pretty good shape. Well,
right.
Truth be told, Jim Caldwell got it because Tony Dungy suggested it, and you and I both know it. And really, Jim didn't have to do much to get him. Jim had to do as little as any coach on the planet with that guy. Not saying Jim can't coach, but as
right.
little as any coach on the planet to get a team to the Super Bowl with number 18. Because the truth is, Jim would be fired after if Manning wasn't on the team this year and last year
mm-hmm.
with the injuries and the way they go. Even though they were 14-2 last year, and Jim obviously has to know how to manage Eagles. I get all that. I know he's good coach, but.
Yeah.
With the injuries and stuff, and without Peyton Manning, we would be talking about a possible replacement in Indianapolis right now.
Right. Do you feel like, you know, he's sort of like an untouchable? Because, you know, I know Dungy's probably really still close with the organization. You know, do you feel like he's kind of an untouchable because they feel like they'd be slapping Dungy in the face if they were to get rid of him?
Yep. And probably Peyton likes him. Yeah. I would think that as long as they keep winning 10, 11, 12, as long as Manning's the quarterback,
yeah.
and if Jim wants the job, I don't see how they can fire him.
Right. My thing is he's more of a negative on the sideline than he is a positive.
Well, he's a positive as an assistant coach. I don't think Jim's at a level, and it's not because he doesn't know X's and O's, doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, when I'm looking at him, see, for me, I'm always looking at a leader first.
Right, okay.
I look at a leader. That's me, my head coach I'm talking about. Now, I got to hire great X's and O's assistants, but you look around the great ones, they know X's and O's, but I'm looking for a leader first. And anybody that watches practice in Indianapolis mm-hmm. will tell you who runs the practice.
Right, yeah.
It's Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I want you to come back. I know you got a lot more on your mind.
Okay.
But it was a horrible timeout. I love Jim Caldwell. We got to call like we see it. Now, would it have made a difference in the game? I don't know.
No, I don't think
so. That's part of being a head coach, Anthony. You got to put your team in best position to win, and using that timeout did not put his team in best position to win. And if you looked at number 18, who, like I said, is the franchise, he had his arms around like, what are we doing?
Right.
You don't do that because, again, the next day the Eagles were in a similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
They did not take a timeout, the other team. Neither team did. And
right.
What did Vic do? Hurried him to the line of scrimmage, called an all-go, and underthrows an interception in a pressure situation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back. Anthony's going to continue to join me here on Voice America Sports. We are unfiltered. Coaching decisions, that's where coaches, great ones, are made. In those little decisions that become monumental. Not in, can you place an X here and an O there? Assistant coaches are there for that. We're coming right back here on Voice America Sports. We are unfiltered, factual, and opinionated. We'll be right back.
To the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Ready for an old school in your face discussion of professional college and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with your hosts Derek Ennard and the coach Al Gross.
You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and their weekly guests that are personal and provocative.
From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Back out to Anthony real quick in just a second. Former South Florida coach Jim Leavitt, he's getting $2.7 million in a settlement of a lawsuit. That's tax-free money, too, by the way, folks. He filed against the school after he was fired last January. If you remember, he had just signed, like, in the second year of a $12.6 million seven-year deal. He gets $2 million in salary and benefits and an additional $750,000 as acknowledgement for contributions he made in building the Bulls into a nationally respected program, for sure. Now, remember, he was dismissed after a school investigation concluded he grabbed one of his players by the throat during halftime of a game and slapped him in the face and then lied about it. Well, does that mean that if they're giving him $2.75 million that he didn't lie about it, that they fired him unfairly? So, I mean, it's not a bad thank you, $2.7 million. But Jim had said all along he didn't do anything wrong. Now, if he did slap a player in the face and grab him around the throat, probably a little overboard. I can tell you this, though. Seen it happen in most locker rooms. Face mask grabbing, pushing, shoving, fighting. I guess we're in such a position that competition doesn't matter anymore. Nowadays, though, you'd get a player, if a coach did that, player'd hit him back. They would. They'd hit his ass right back. So is this South Florida admitting that Jim Leavitt didn't do it and that they're paying him? Or is it, this can't be a $2.7 million just go away. You don't just give it a school like that that isn't, it's not exactly like your booster programs like Ohio State or Notre Dame. So is this, are they acknowledging by settling that they fired him unfairly? Just a simple question, because you know something like that, one way or the other, ruins a guy's reputation. Can ruin a guy's reputation where other people won't touch him. And Jim did build a program. When we went there the first time I did a game with them at ESPN, Mark Malone and I did a game, their meeting rooms were in trailers. Just like on a lot. I damn well tell you they built a program, so maybe that's South Florida admitting that they fired him unfairly. Whether they think it or not, handing him $2.7 million bucks ain't a bad gig for him, and maybe that allows people to say, okay, if they settled, let's hire the guy. So good for him. Let's get out to Anthony again in New York, because we're talking about this Jim Caldwell timeout situation and some other things in sports. Yeah, you know what, Anthony, I don't know. I think there are some untouchables in sports, and maybe Jim's one, because, like I said, he's got the ringing endorsement of Dungy, and that seems to be a gold mine.
Right.
Only if Tony wants to make a call on your behalf, I think you're getting right. Recommending Michael Vick when he comes out.
Yeah.
Leslie Frazier to Minnesota. Bam. Mm-hmm. Thinks that what's his name? You know, they thought Leslie should have been hired in Seattle ahead of Pete Carroll. He recommended Jim Caldwell. Caldwell got the job. I would say that if any of us were smart, I'd call Tony and say, Tony, remember all those talks we had?
Right, yeah.
Remember all those talks we had, and we were talking all the time and loved each other? Could you make a few phone calls on my behalf? But anyway, we'll see. I, as long as Jim Caldwell's there, it's like anything. As long as Tiger Woods is around his coach and stuff, he struggled last year, he's still going to make you a fortune, and he's still so good that you don't really have to do much. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Do you find, I've found that since Dungy's gone on NBC, do you find that he uses his, and I'm not just talking about Dungy on this point, I don't like
yes.
celebrities do this either, he finds that he uses his television to get his points across? You find that while he has you, he sort of like throws out, like sort of like puts the NFL on like a political sort of stage and like throws out what he thinks should happen, and people like hold his word in such high regard
yep.
that everyone sees it, well, Tony Dungy said this.
Yes, Tony Dungy has become, and the way I look at it, Tony Dungy has become the spokesperson.
Yes.
And I understand this, and I'll preface this. You know I'm not much of an ass kisser. No. Tony Dungy is one of the two sweetest men that I know in sports.
Right, I love the guy.
The two best people I've ever met in sports as far as the way they treat their families, the way they handle adversity, the way they don't finger point, don't cuss and scream are Mike Riley at Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
He coached me when we won our Grey Cup in Winnipeg.
Okay.
He's my head coach. And Tony Dungy was on the staff in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You will not find two better people anywhere. And Norm Chow probably in the top five.
Right.
You just BYU, they're just gentle, good people. But
right.
Tony's in that class. But what I think we've got to the point now is that, hell, if it's somebody who kills dogs, if it's the black-white coaching issue,
right.
if it's fundraising, if it's a player, there is no question in my mind that we have tapped Tony Dungy, the country has, that if Tony Dungy says it's okay, then it's okay. I mean, somebody just decided to wake up one day and anoint Tony the spokesperson. And now, his, whatever Tony says goes. And there are times, there's no question, that Tony has that forum at NBC where they can be talking about it. And Dan will tee him up on them. I mean, they won't even just talk the football thing. Tee him up on something else, and it won't have anything to do with that situation.
Mm-hmm.
That Tony, if he even wants to guide his conversation that way, people listen. And for whatever reason, it's just like, oh, Tony said it, so it's got to be true.
Yeah, I notice he plays a lot with the, especially with the black white coaches thing. He throws it out a lot, and part of me not even the black white coaching thing. I just don't like when people use their television to sort of force their views upon you.
Why do you think that some Hall of Famer, some guys, TV guys, and networks hire former players that are on the brink of the Hall of Fame?
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, the player wants to be out there to keep his face out there. But right. two is the network likes to ride the pony that says, well, we're going to give more credit and more rating because our guy's a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. He's sitting right. It happens. I've listened to him talk right. about it. But there's no question. There's no question. And Tony's not racist at all. Believe
No, I'm not saying that.
But Tony is a very, very major endorser.
Yes.
For the African American head coach. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. But I put it this way. There's no question that nobody else, when it comes down to that, it doesn't seem like anybody else's answer matters.
Right. Except, yeah.
If Tony says it in that. I like when Tony was upset about Rex Ryan. Was it Tony that was upset or probably about Rex Ryan cussing on that HBO
yeah.
show?
On the TV show, yeah.
Yeah, the Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I love them both. And they're both completely different. I don't know why that should bother. Tony's been on football fields, and he doesn't cuss.
Right.
But you know what? It's Rex Ryan. And that's probably in all the years I've known Tony, that's one of the only things that bugged me. It may bug Tony.
Right.
Probably to get up there and say he shouldn't be cussing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Jets are still playing, so apparently yeah. it didn't bother the players.
No, not at all.
So that's just me. I love Tony. Mm-hmm. I love his endorsement, and I love his family. And, you know, what he's gone through is brutal, yeah. but nobody's handled it with more style and grace. But there's no doubt he's become the African-American spokesperson. There's no yeah. question about it.
Mm-hmm. And then I want to touch one more thing, but quickly, I read yesterday just to show how much of an awful organization my New York Mets are. For the next 24 seasons, the Mets will be paying Bobby Bonilla $2 million a year. Because the last year, remember he was one of the big free agent signings
oh, yeah.
in the 90s?
No question.
They deferred the last year of his contract at $5.9 million. So you know when you hear that in the news, like the last year of his salary has been deferred?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they deferred it, and the player defers it, so down the road he can pick up the money later, and they don't have to take it up now, and they can get their interest on it until they have to pay Bobby down the road. Yeah,
can you 24 years at $2 million a year, they have to pay him.
So he gets $48 million over the next 24 years.
He turned that $6 million into $48 million.
Yeah,
I for a guy who was like detrimental to the organization, and now that I mean, it's just I don't know. It just
how good would that be? Bobby's been done playing for a decade now almost, hasn't he?
Yeah, close to it, yeah.
8 years, maybe?
Yeah,
Bobby
Bowe's
been done. There was a time when he was a switch-in power guy. And
oh, yeah.
Bonds and Bonilla. I mean, we talked about him, and Bobby had a couple seasons. You know, he had some played well, and
yeah.
he was big and powerful and could do it all and, you know, wielded some attitude. But, man, wouldn't that be nice that a decade or so after you're done playing, all of a sudden you get tapped on the shoulder and say, oh, by the way, that deferred money, you got $48 million of it?
They're coming to you. Oh.
Coming to you for the next 24 years, which means, dude, you don't have to do anything if you don't want to.
No, I thought it was like one of these April Fool's things they put up there. I was like, you got to be but it's the truth. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, I got to tell Sean about this tomorrow.
Oh, really well, you know what? And I didn't know that's what the payout came to.
Yeah.
I knew we had deferred money. But goodness gracious, that's a nice wake-up call in 2011, isn't it?
Please, yeah.
I could use it.
Yeah, so could I.
I'm deferring my 50-cent piece to hope that in 6 years that it gets to be at $12 a year for me. That'd be
yeah.
great.
That's about what I'm living on, yeah.
I'm telling you. So let me ask you one more thing.
Yep.
If you don't. Are the Jets going overboard with their constant badgering of a team? Is this an ass-kicking waiting to happen?
You know what? I hope so. I really do. Because like I told you, you know, the Jets and their fans are the same people. This is what I've been having to hear for the past week and a half now. It's just, you know, they just keep talking and talking. And I don't think they realize the only people that aren't listening are probably the Patriots.
Yeah.
They don't care.
No question. And you know what else is scary? Is not only are the Patriots listening. I mean, not only they may not be listening. They hear, but they may not be listening.
Right.
They're like that doggone, you know, that caged animal that, okay. You know how you dangle the food in there and pull mm-hmm. it back and, okay, goes and sits in the corner and growls a little bit, but it's no big deal. You're not going to see it. And then all of a sudden, the one time you put your hand in there too long, what happens?
Yeah.
It bites it off.
Mm-hmm.
I love Rex and his attitude, but everybody on the team talks. You know, Cromartie calling Brady. I mean, I'm telling you that the Jets better start fast because not only could they lose.
Yeah, this.
They could take a complete beat down by the Patriots. The Patriots don't say squat.
No.
And it's not like you're saying this to a team that was 2-4. You're not talking nonsense about the Panthers, which leads me to believe, do you as a Jets person actually believe that you can beat the Patriots? It's, you know, the most time the talker is the most insecure. Am I right?
Yeah, I would try to pump himself up.
I don't think that the Patriots are overly worried or insecure in this football game. Do you?
No, not at all. To me, the only guy on the Jets that should say that is eligible or even should say a word is Darrell Revis. Everybody else should just keep their mouth shut.
Well, and then go out and cover like he always does. I love it because it breaks for great banner, but we'll see what happens, my man.
Yeah, I hope they get their ass kicked, the Jets.
They're playing the team that could do it. Anthony, thanks. Chime in tomorrow, but we'll get our picks throughout the rest of the week.
All right, Sean.
Appreciate
have a good
it,
one.
Buddy. Thanks a lot. Bobby Bonilla.
To the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping? Looking to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
Get ready to go inside the minds and behind the scenes with the top professional athletes, celebrities, and music entertainers. It's a sports show like no other.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with former NFL wide receiver Jairus McIntyre is real talk with in-depth interviews, topical discussions, and a whole lot of comedy. You'll hear from the entertainers, the athletes, and the fans.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with Jairus McIntyre is broadcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Voice America Sports. Sorry about that. Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. As we, I'm still fascinated that baseball starts soon. Now, I know there's a lot of people that love it. I do, too. That's part of, I mean, while fall's a great time of year, I'm not so sure. Right around March isn't my favorite time of year. I head down to Arizona, spring practice, football, spring training, all those things. I kind of love just and then the weather's good, and you play golf, and everybody seems to be happy. It's just whether you're in Florida or whether you're in whether you're in Arizona. It's just pretty cool. I like it. I wonder, as we look to, when you're a team like Stanford, and at first I thought, you know, Mike Leach, I looked at an offense like that, and I said, well, you can't hire. The biggest problem with Mike Leach going back to Stanford, and if they wanted to hire a guy like that, which they're not, I don't think they're going to under the circumstances, is that I thought, well, they're not going to do that if Andrew Luck goes back because you don't want to change your pro-style offense. And make if a quarterback left and you have young quarterbacks, you can change things to kind of suit your needs, but you're not going to bring a coach in that's going to make wholesale changes to an offense when you've got Andrew Luck there. You're going to cater to him. Well, then that makes you think, well, any coach that knows how to coach offense should be able to go in and change his philosophy to suit your talent. To me, that's a good coach. You may be an option coach, but you know what? If you've been in football long enough, I mean, I can teach. I can't run the option. I can teach it, reads and the rest of it. Obviously, I can run a pro-style offense, can teach the run and shoot off. I mean, you could teach them all. If you're a good coach, you could teach them. Well, why do you think a guy like Norv Turner was a defensive backfield coach when I first went to USC? They turned him over and made him the quarterback coach and coordinator. Norv goes on and coaches, you know, that same position, I think wide receivers for a while with the Rams. Then he's the offensive coordinator on a couple of Cowboys Super Bowl teams. So you can coach different positions. If you're a coach and you study enough tape, you can coach them all. I mean, I can go coach wide receivers just like I can quarterbacks. Obviously, my specialty is quarterback. I can go coach the New England Patriots wide receivers. I mean, it's probably not quite as difficult because the quarterback knows all 22 as a receiver. You got to know who to block, what route to run, how to do it. It's not that simple, but it's not like you have to read the far side corner on your route. Quarterback's got to read them all, but good coaches can coach any position. I should be able to take Jason Garrett or John Fox and say, go coach the offensive line, or can you coach the tight end position? Of course, they should be able to. Now, some of them, I don't see John Teerlink, the defensive line coach in Indianapolis, coaching quarterbacks, but John's dedicated enough that he probably could, some better than others. So it's just, you know, just the way Belichick can go coach quarterbacks if he had to, not Bill's specialty, especially stopping quarterbacks. So I think at Stanford and a guy like Leach, then all of a sudden I think, well, you keep Andrew Luck, or Andrew Luck decides to come back to school, why, you know, you're not going to hire any coach that you probably stay in-house and hire your coordinator there, or somebody who's got the exact same philosophy, so you don't have to change things. Well, then they, you know, basically offer Chris Peterson in for an interview, the head coach of Boise State, and I thought, well, wait a minute now. They're in a spread offense, wide open, doing all kinds of stuff at Boise State. So if Chris Peterson were to take that job, which he turned it down, would he go in there and adjust to what Jim Harbaugh had and make him teach that? If the athletic director said, no, we're going to keep the same offense, so you make sure you get some coaches around here that can teach that. Or Andrew Luck's good enough, we'll make the players change. I don't believe that I'd make 12 coaches, 10 coaches, 9 coaches, and a head coach, whatever it is, double digits coaches, change to 85 guys on scholarship plus walk-ons. I believe it's the other way around. Now, when you first come in and you get your recruiting class, and eventually you want to get your people built in, but Stanford's a unique situation. You got the best football player in America. You don't want to have him come back for a reason, all of a sudden have him running some spread offense. Now, he's capable of it because the guy can run and throw, but you want to do what he does. So coaches make adjustments to make sure that the success on the field, because there's not one time this year that a coach on Stanford is going to make any tackles or throw any interceptions or a touchdown pass. As good as their success is, take Andrew Luck off that team, Stanford wouldn't be ranked in the top 15 going into next season. Put Andrew Luck on it, they're an instant national title contender. So that's what coaches have to think in their mind. How do I adjust? I think good coaches are strong-willed and stubborn towards what they teach and how they feel philosophy on being on time and the rest of it. But great coaches are willing to adjust to make the players around them feel comfortable. Because you know what? I've been on staffs where a coach wants to run a play so bad, and you'll practice it all week, and it's never right. It's never right. You can run it 15 times, and it's like, dang, it just doesn't. Somebody jumps off sides. The exchange isn't good. Coverage isn't buying it. The fake's not as good. Somebody just doesn't feel comfortable doing it. Now, the smart coaches won't call that on Sunday or Saturday. There are still stubborn enough coaches that say, we practice it enough, and I have a hunch in this game, but I'm one of those guys that I don't call things I don't practice.
I just don't. You have your library of stuff, your same thing, your best play, your stretch play, the same thing. You work on every day and practice every day. And then you put a reverse in and you work on it. But I will never run a play that we haven't practiced that week. Even if it's been in our library from a month ago that we used against the Jets, and now we're getting ready to play the Colts, while I may have called it against the Jets, if I haven't game planned it during the week so my guys can refresh themselves and practice it, it doesn't get called on Sunday or Saturday, depending on college or NFL. And if I've run that play 10 times in practice and it's sucked for 10 times, we haven't completed one and haven't made a play and it hasn't fooled anybody, I'm not calling it in the game. I'll call a play that gets me 6 yards before I'll call one that may get me 40 that I'm not sure even going to work when we break the huddle. So with the Stanford thing, where are they going to go with this? Stay in-house to keep the Jim Harbaugh ball going and hire your offensive coordinator and just roll right through it. Do you go out of house? Apparently, going out and interviewing Chris Peterson means that they weren't overly comfortable with possibly staying in-house. Or you just hired the guy right off the bat. Look what San Diego State did. Brady Hoke gets a job, boom. Rocky Long's got it right now. They didn't even go out and right now. Rocky Long's gig. You heard the rumors. Leach's name was mentioned a little bit. You heard Herman Edwards' name mentioned because he's a San Diego State guy. You heard that. But you know what? He was boom, walking right out. And they put Rocky Long right in. So at Stanford, the philosophy of an offense, it's a unique situation. Rarely do you get the first pick of the draft on a team that was 12-1 coming back. And then your head coach leaving to go right down the street to coach the 49ers. And the reason I hit on this, I just think it's a really, really special situation. And I thought, no way. And I remember calling my brother. I said, Leach ain't getting the Stanford job. Andrew Luck just came back to school. He said, yeah, I just thought of the same thing. We talk football all the time. I said, they're not going to change what Mike does to have Luck suit Mike. And then all of a sudden Chris Peterson goes in there, and I called him back. I said, wait a minute now. If they're interviewing Chris Peterson, maybe Mike fits. But the coach that comes in there, even if it's a spread offense type of guy like that, is going to have to understand that you've got to put more two-back, two-tight-end situations to add here and appease what makes Stanford the best. And what makes Andrew Luck the best is play-action fake, dropping back in a pocket, rolling the pocket, moving it, play-action, and making throws and throwing from 5-7-step drops and 3-step quicks and getting it out of his hand. Now, you can quarterback drawing. You can get him on the edge on 3rd and 3 at the 2-yard line. You get him out on the edge, run a little option. He's big and physical. The change-up pitch that you work that people say, what's he doing running the option? Those are cool. But you ain't running. You're not running Gus Malzahn's offense with Andrew Luck, where your quarterback runs it 22 times. That will not happen. It's going to be interesting. Great job. It's amazing. They're having trouble getting a job, and I don't know who all at Stanford's doing or how many different people they are interviewing. Chris Peterson says no, stays at Boise State. But you think about some of the jobs that people can't give away. Michigan was on about their 9th choice, and Hoke may end up being a great choice. Ball State and San Diego State seem to think so. But Stanford, man, I mean, you would think coaches would be standing in line to get the job. Hell, even if it was for 1 year, just to coach Luck and say, we're not going to need a whole lot of luck to win a lot of games with Luck as our quarterback. That's just flat-ass skill. I look at it different, folks. Maybe that's why I love it so much. 888-346-9144. 888-346-9144. Wish we could take a poll. Not set up for that. Take a poll of how many people believe that Auburn will at some point lose this national title. Will at some point lose the national title? Just a simple question. I wonder. Or are you? And if you're an Auburn fan, I wonder, is there a part of you that says, yep, it was great, unbelievable run, love it, but is there a part of you that's afraid that this is going to end up getting Auburn and the Heisman Trophy in the end? You're loving it now, but is there a part of you that thinks it's going to be done in the end, that Auburn's going to eventually lose this national title in controversy and that we're going to find something deeper involved. How many of you think that? I wonder. And I think that'd make for an interesting poll question, you know, when you can do far-reaching poll questions. So I ask it, you're a caller, listener, and step aside Auburn lovers and tell me what you think. Boy, you guys played great. Unbelievable in dealing with adversity. A lot of people couldn't even, with that cloud hovering over the head, a lot of people wouldn't even be able to get through it. Wouldn't it? They'd have quit against Alabama, down 24 to nothing. They showed me something. They showed me they got big balls in Cowtown. But even Auburn fans, I'd like to know, do you think that this situation, because how do you turn down a $180 for one place when you're a play for pay and then end up going somewhere else? Was the money more, or is this Cam Newton kid just that kind of quality individual? Is he really that too good to be true? So tell me, will the Auburn Tigers at some point lose their championship because of it? It's Voice America Sports. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered. We'll come right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, just it's a trip. It's a trip what goes on and where a team like Stanford's going to go. So welcome to Voice America Sports here. We're rolling along. 2 hours goes fast, but I'm sure glad we got this. 5 days a week here, voiceamericasports.com. You can also find me at on Twitter at Sean Unfiltered and Facebook and my fan page, Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. And new show. Television show coming out, and like I said, hopefully other things will be rolling along here, but start the production here in January, film our first one out in Arizona, the Inside Sports Sean Salisbury Unleashed, and in March, I believe, the first one airs on Versus, and then we'll roll from there, maybe two of them right off the bat, and then we'll see. Hopefully it'll be big and somebody will love it and you'll get a network picking it up, doing an hour show once a week, doing what, you know, the Daily Show it does, but you know, with more opinion, hardcore sports with a few laughs on the side. And nobody's really doing it. And there will be no lying. We're not going to be going and digging for, you know, awful information. We're going to be giving you hardcore opinion. And allowing the fans, as you notice on this show, I don't let celebrity guests rule my show. When there's a time, and I've only had, what, three or four guests on since I've done this. And with a two-hour format, I will as we head into the new year. But you know what? I think to me, and I'm going to just be honest with you, just to have a talking head come on that's a star but tells me nothing, to me it's useless radio. Just because, ooh, he's going to have on Joe Blow. Well, if Joe Blow is a star, but Joe Blow comes on here and bores me to tits, why the heck do I want to have Joe Blow on? It means nothing to me. Now, if I got somebody on here, like when we had Eric Dickerson on, and he said something, now, that is why I want him on. And I don't, and I will more and more, I'll get to the point where I'll probably have a guest today. The only reason I don't have him on now, I'm a little leery of having a guest today for the simple reason, I prefer the fans. Now, I know people say callers should never dictate the show. You're exactly right, asshole callers. I do it different on Unfiltered. The fans are the ones that listen. The fans are the ones that want. If the fans want a certain guest, I'll take their suggestions. But having Anthony or D-Man or AC or James come on and give their hardcore opinion and kind of speak for the fans, I think it's great. And we get a good guest on, I'll allow a fan to come in and ask the guest questions too. I don't believe in having a guest just to have a guest. Some shows will put on 9 guests, one after the other. It's not called Steve Jones Unfiltered. It's called Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. Now, I don't want to hear me speak for 2 hours. That's why the callers come in and emails. It's not what I do. But this is a unique, because a lot of broadcasters think that, oh, they just want to hear themselves talk, and that's what everybody wants to hear. You may want to hear my opinion, but damn, I don't want to overload my mouth with my ass for 2 straight hours a day, 5 days a week. That's why I like the fans, and that's why I don't cut them off after one question, because it's interesting banter. It's not me asking him a question and talk at Anthony. It's me asking him a question and talk with Anthony, or D-Man's got to take, and we disagree or we agree. So I was thinking about that, saying, man, do I need 2 guests? No, I don't need 3 guests a day. Matter of fact, if they're not good guests, I could care less. Give me your favorite guest that doesn't tell anything. You know. And I'm using, let's say Joe Montana comes on. I haven't interviewed Joe in a long time. But let's say Joe came on and didn't say anything. Just because he's Joe Montana, you may tune in for a few seconds, but if he's not telling you anything, and Joe may or may not, I just use him because he's the best quarterback of all time. If Joe's not going to tell me something hardcore and good, what's it do? Just on the resume, it says I can get Joe Montana on? I don't need a pat on the back for getting Joe Montana on. I don't give a shit about that. But if we get somebody on here, somebody comes on here, and they're like Mike Leach, when he came on here and was openly talking about the situation, stuff you haven't heard him say anywhere else, then that's what you want to hear. I want you walking off this show saying, damn. That's some opinion, and that guest said something. I don't want you coming out here and say, hey, see, John Elway was on, but John didn't. What'd John say? If I'm going to get a coach or a player that gives me coach and player speak, oh, we're just going to give it 100%. We don't look beyond this week's game. I don't need him on. I could say that for his ass. And if that's what you're looking for, wrong station. Wrong network, should I say. It's not a station network. I'm not into it. Some other guys are, and that's great for them. To me, if I loaded 8 guests on this show, it would tell you one thing, that I'm not confident enough or good enough or prepared enough to carry a 2-hour show without having guests interrupt it. That's my philosophy. A guest every 2 hours, a guest a show, that's just about enough if it's a guest. Now, if I get a guest on here and in 5 minutes I know he's not a good guest, I'm done. Or she's not a good guest, I'm done. I'd rather have a middle-of-the-road star that tells me something as opposed to a big-time name that doesn't tell me shit. Not interested. And nobody's even said anything about it but me. To me, when I look at it as guest after guest, and you're just loading up the thing so people say, they may tune in for ratings, but if it's a bad guest, you're going to turn right around and say, well, why am I listening? I believe fans deserve more respect. And I believe at times fans actually know far more than the so-called expert. Seen it happen many a times. Knows more than the so-called expert. So I'm glad you guys are a part of this, and I will continue to always let you be a part of this as long as I'm here. And until the day comes when I'm not doing this show, then fans are going to have a heavy say in what goes on. It's not the fans unfiltered. Yes, it's Sean Salisbury unfiltered, but mine's Sean Salisbury unfiltered with a little asterisk by it. It allows the fans to be unfiltered and have a heavy say in the way that, the conversation goes. I mean, we've had great opportunity where we've had, we've said some things on here. We're going in one point, and then all of a sudden, you know, AC will come on and change. He wants to go somewhere else, and we'll take the conversation there. Because, you know, you can't cover it all. And there may be something, you know, somebody may want to talk about BYU and Jimmer Fredette hitting 47 last night on Utah. Well, you know, we go through it. We get caught up. Well, tomorrow we can talk about Jimmer Fredette if that's what you want to do. To try to hit the big ones. Here's from Dawn Marie. She's a War Eagle fan. And she sent on my wall, she sent me that night of that game, never doubted this team all year. And she sure hasn't. She sure never wavered. And here's what she sent me today. And when I asked the question, is really Cam Newton this good of a kid that he has no idea what went on and that he was willing to turn down $180,000 from Mississippi State because he loved Auburn? That was my question. And Dawn Marie says, he is that good of a kid and they are that good of a team. Well, that good of a team, there's no question. That's been proven. That's been proven, Dawn. You are exactly right. He has proven, that football team has proven that they are that good of a team. No blemishes on the record. Come from behind victories over some incredible football teams in the toughest football conference in America with as good athletes as you'll ever see. They are damn right they've proven it. And down 24-0 and seconds away from being down 31-0 until a player makes a play, knocks it out of his arm, out of Mark Ingram's arms. It's 31-0 and that ball game's over. Momentum switcher, they come back and win on the road in Tuscaloosa. You could have bet your damn life that wasn't going to happen, and it happened. And the only ones that believed it happened, even Auburn fans when it was 24-0, didn't believe it was going to happen on the road in Tuscaloosa. But then 24-7, and then 10, and then you start to say, oh, hell, here they come. But when they were down 24-0, not a soul on the planet outside of the guys actually on the field, because they had to believe it or they couldn't have come back, believed that Auburn was going to win. So you're damn right they've taken care of it on the field, Don. No doubt. Now, it seems to me that Cam Newton says the right things. He gives God the glory and, you know, says it, you know, all those things that people do. And then if he believes that, that's great. There's nothing worse to me than a guy who gives God the glory and turns around and is a bad kid. You know, not that he gives God the glory, as we all should, and you're a God-fearing man and Christian. I'm all for that, regardless of your religion or race or gender. Could care less. But it's the one that does that and then turns around in the locker room and you know he's a pig. Okay? Been around those guys, too. Now, this kid seems, if I had no idea that there was any NC2A investigation, I would sit there and think, man, look at all the love. If there's no NC2A investigation, shouldn't this guy be getting similar love as far as his accolades and his good deeds as a football player that we gave Tim Tebow? Here's the difference why it's not. Tim Tebow claimed he was a virgin. I don't know if Cam Newton does. Tim Tebow was there longer at the university and the SEC than Cam Newton's been at Florida. At Auburn. Cam Newton had some trouble at another school from a junior college and had trouble at Florida, got in some trouble there, and was ran off and was, you know, left for Auburn. And Tim Tebow's never been in trouble. So that's where that comparison stops. But as far as a good kid, if I never knew their NC2A allegations or that he, I don't know, was got in some trouble academically or doing something wrong at Florida, just from the way I watch him play and the way he is, you'd say, this is a good kid. And I think he still is a good kid. But we haven't proven the other side yet. If we had, the investigation will be closed. Either he's great at this and he didn't know, or he's so far full of shit that he's got the world fooled. Team-wise, we know they're special. But we're going to find out, and Dawn obviously doesn't think that, and that's great, and I love that, doesn't think that anything's going to happen to Auburn. She said he's that good of a kid, and I hope he is. I still, to this day, one of the biggest questions of 2010 for me is, how does a dad not know, or a son not know what his dad's doing when it comes to his own career? I can't put my hand on it. Can't put a finger on it at all. Can't even put a piece of paper. I don't know how that happens, especially when you're close with you. I could see if his old man and him never talked. I find it hard to believe. And if he did turn down $180,000 and Auburn wasn't involved and he went there, and he's even a better kid than Don's talking about, we'll see. No question in the football team, there still is a major question and a cloud that still hovers right over there in War Eagle territory, wondering what's going to happen. And I can promise you, it looms large and it looms loud with a lot of thunder and lightning coming out of it. But it could clear and be blue skies ahead for Auburn. But we're going to find out. But a special team played a special game in a special season, which seems like a pretty special kid. And if he made mistakes at Florida, so what? Who doesn't? Get in line, folks. You've done something stupid as a parent. You've done something stupid as a teenager. You've done something stupid as an adult. Hell, sometimes we get out of bed in the morning and look at ourselves and we look stupid. So we've all been there. But I'm not willing to let Auburn off the hook yet with this investigation until the investigation's closed and it's done its due diligence. Because in truth, we know damn well, before this national title game and before the SEC championship game, that due diligence was not done. That being said, innocent till proven guilty, and Auburn's innocent as it stands, and they kick the living dog shit out of every team in their way. Close game or not, they found a way to get it done. We'll be back. It's the Voice America Sports. I'd like to take that poll. Have we heard the last of Auburn's allegations? We'll be back. This is Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The Sports Maverick Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Maverick Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyer and the Sports Maverick Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
It's more than a sports show. Tune in every Friday for End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Tony knows and does it all. Whether it's sports, business, or politics, the discussion all comes to focus in one place. You'll hear from the personalities as well as the everyday people, each bringing their own perspective to the discussion. This is a weekly forum that you'll want to be a part of. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie airs live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. or send an email to SeanSalls@gmail.com. That's SeanSalls@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
And Dawn also loves her, War Eagles. The daughter, Maya, is a gymnast there. And she's very proud, and she should be. And I think that's awesome. We all defend, we want what's best, not only for our kids, but for where they go to school and all that. And so I love, and Dawn's a through-and-through War Eagle fan. And she's right. They sure as heck earned it on the field. Well, where there's a point, there's always a counterpoint. And here's my man, AC. He says, Auburn, enjoy the run. Because I think that the follow-up investigation is coming down, and they're just waiting to tear him down. The only way they're going to be able to justify tearing him down is to vilify him and his father in the worst way. They used him like a New York whore and will enjoy the money now and act like saints later. I hope that he got more than the $180K from Auburn, because if he didn't, he sold himself real cheap for what is coming his way. And that was what AC said. And I will add to that, if in fact he did take $180 or $200K from Auburn, with the money he's brought in, but then all the publicity Auburn's got, Cam Newton got cheated. $200,000 is far from it. Should have added a couple more zeros on there and made it $2 million after the publicity and the amount of money he'd bring into the team with that undefeated season and a national title. And AC continues to go on and says, Stanford also needs to settle the coaching position situation really quick. The biggest problem, though, is the cost of living in Palo Alto area. And how do you bring a staff and manage it with the cost of living? Now, that's a great point, folks. Because other than, you know, we hear about Beverly Hills and, like, the Southern California beach areas, I get it, in, like, Fairfield County or whatever it is in the East Coast. If you do in that area, in that Palo Alto area, it's one of the, I would say, five highest-priced areas in the country, and I may be cheating it out of a couple spots. You know, that is a brutal cost of living where Stanford University's campus is. Brutal cost of living, expensive as all hell. Obviously, in getting a head coach and what you do and who you can afford to pay and the assistants, you know, it comes down to this. Let's say you're an assistant at a Midwest school, let's say Wisconsin, cost of living not as high, and they want to give you the same position at Stanford, and maybe you feel, you know, that Stanford's got a, or maybe the coach, you're at Wisconsin, you love it, but the guy who's going to get the head coaching job, you were buddies back in college. Now, Wisconsin, let's say, is an assistant. Let's say they're paying you $200,000. But Stanford is going to pay you $250,000 to come. Do you leave? Because really, to equal what's going on there, or like in Michigan, or I'm just using big schools in the Big 12, or even down here in Texas, where it's the cost of living's, you know, less buying houses than it would be, obviously, on the West Coast. Do you leave for like $50,000 more? If you're making $200 in Texas, shouldn't you be making $400 in Palo Alto? That's the situation you have to take into account. And don't kid yourself. When it comes to raising families, winning's one thing, but it's also about the money. And SEC girl makes a point, too, about this Auburn situation. She says, Cam is as guilty as dad, and going to be able to, and thanks to those two, meaning Cam and his father, several schools now are going to risk investigation. Oh, there's no doubt that this opens up with the Mississippi State Auburn thing when you start to look and say, well, if Mississippi State and Auburn are doing it, is Ole Miss, is LSU, is Kentucky, what you'll see now if the NC2A has any guts at all, that if you investigate these two, or is this like a probable cause thing? That why would we go and investigate Kentucky if their Kentucky football program hasn't, nobody's saying they did anything wrong? Or do you just say, well, this has happened, so we've got to stop it from being rampant, so we need to go investigate every team in the SEC? Because I assure you this, if you decide to do that and open up a can of worms at every program in the SEC, you better have the balls to be ready to add probation to about every damn one of them. And I'm not just limited to the SEC. I'm limited to the SEC because Mississippi State and Auburn are the talk of this situation with Cam Newton and their father. Heck, at SC, with SC's probation with Reggie Bush, don't you go about 7 miles down the road to UCLA, head your ass right on up north towards Stanford and Cal, take the plane and fly into Eugene and come down to Arizona and Arizona State. If you want to stop in Washington and Wazoo on the way there, and now Colorado and Utah, feel free. Because I got news for you. What happened at USC isn't a one-time aberration in the Pac-10 as far as rules in the NCAA goes. And if you believe that because you're an alum of the other schools, then you're dumb. I'm an alum of USC, and I damn well know it, because when I went to school there, just like you saw it when I look at the SMU death penalty thing, it's so funny that SMU got the death penalty. Not funny for them. It's so funny because you think they're the only team in America that deserved the death penalty and had a guy driving a car. And when they came on with that death penalty talk on this ESPN with 30-30, which is great, great, best thing ESPN does outside of College Game Day. This is the best thing, College Game Day second. No question. It's not even close. This investigative stuff and these reports about the death penalty and Marcus Dupree and the USFL, great stuff. Well, I laughed when they interviewed the guy at SMU. Laughed. When the final straw was a guy who was not even a star that came on and said he got $25,000. They said, man, did he get cheated? Boy, did he get cheated. Not just around the country, but on his own team. Because if you think he was a guy, take a look at the players on that team. And I want you to tell me if you think 25 grand was the most that changed hands. You don't think it was going on at Tech, at A&M, and with the Longhorns? I can already tell you, a guy of mine was offered 100 head of cattle from University of Texas that I played football with to go there, high school All-American. I could tell you that, and at SC, I mean, I thought, man alive, SMU got the death penalty. Boy, I guess they didn't want to open up a can of worms to every other program in the country. Because they wouldn't have been the only one on the death penalty, folks. They're the ones who got caught. Or let me take it even further. They're the ones that the NCAA decided to investigate deeper. Because if the NCAA would have had the resources to walk into Pac-10, Big 8, the Southwest Conference at other schools, Southeastern Conference, Big 10, you'd have found many more. Schedules would have had to be changed, and rosters would have had to be changed with all the schools that would have suffered the death penalty back in those days. And that was just in the mid-'80s and early and mid-'80s when I played. Think about even before then. So please, save it. SMU got hosed because they cheated, but if you think that there wasn't a long line standing behind their ass, there was. And when that investigation was going on, you want to know how many teams Arkansas Razorbacks started to scramble and find a paper shredder? And I could say it because I lived it. Okay? I lived it. So did the UCLA athlete. So did the guy from Oregon. So did the damn guy from Pitt. Okay? Don't kid yourself. And you know what? Don't just limit it to the non-church schools either. Got recruited by them too, folks. Got recruited by them too. Go around. You want to do a great show? Maybe I'll take this on my own. You want to do a great show on one of the like 2-hour special, like on 60 Minutes, but a show like that, but sticking on a sports network where they're not afraid to talk. Heck, you're bad. Some of these guys are past. I mean, get Eric Dickerson about SMU. Put me on there at SC. Stick Danny Marino on about Pitt. Where we're coming clean and people aren't afraid to tell the truth, where they're unfiltered. Do a roundtable show. Stick it on one of these sports networks. And to where, you know, what is it called? Statute of limitations. Not like you can go back and punish a program for it. Ain't nobody kidding themselves about ticket scalping. Every single one of us that I ever said, every single one of the guys at not only my university, but any universities up and down, I've talked about this before, was making money hand over fist from alumni and from selling tickets. SMU wasn't the only team in this country that deserved to be investigated that hard and to be on probation and lose all those scholarships. They were the example setter. They weren't the only one doing it. There was plenty more that were sneaky and slick like Ron Meyer. And I love Ron. They're the ones who got caught and they got looked at in the same situation. The Mississippi State Auburn situation, if the NCAA uses its resources, they're going to go beat down doors of every single SEC program in that conference. And they ought to do the same in the Pac-10 after what happened to USC, because USC deserved probation. And Pete Carroll knew, and don't kid yourself, he did. Do I know that? Have I talked to Pete? Do I know for a fact? No. If he didn't, then there's no way that those teams could have had the camaraderie they did. It's impossible for word of mouth. Heck, you can be banging some girl 6,000 miles away, and somebody's word of mouth will tell somebody, where a buddy comes back and says, "Hey, dude, I heard you're banging Giselle." No, that's Tom Brady. It's the same with this. A $350,000 house doesn't go unnoticed by alumni and coaches. If it does, then you got a shitty program. Not shitty program because they're letting it happen, but then their communication process. You cannot have good communication and win without the coach knowing on a college campus what goes on. Now, you can't babysit these kids and wonder what they did the night before. Did they or didn't they wear a condom with their girlfriend? And did they get somebody pregnant? You can't babysit at all. If you are, I got a problem with you. But you sure as hell can monitor when money changes hands for the most part. For the most part. To the tune of $350,000? So, yes, SEC girl makes a good point. More investigations are going to come down, and more SEC schools and schools across the country are scrambling around. Don't give me this holier-than-thou suffocating bullshit that it doesn't happen on other campuses. And how dare SMU and how dare Mississippi State? Folks, save it. You want a great show? Let me produce and be a part of a town on a two-hour show. It gets eight of the top recruits from like the mid-70s to the mid-80s. And sit us down and let's talk college football recruiting stories. And every single one of the guys sitting down, you could probably have considered death penalty for every single guy that we would have in that round table for their schools. Believe me. How do you think one school gets the six top running backs in the country before the 85 scholarship rule? Because they're buddies? It's Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We're coming back. See, I may not know it all, and I don't, but I'll tell you what. I know the truth. And I damn well know that if you're unfiltered and honest about it, what's it going to hurt? That was back then. Coaching staffs have changed. SC's changed. UCLA's changed. Arkansas's changed. But have they? I'm Sean Salisbury. We're coming back to finish this show up. This is Unfiltered.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, Don Murray also says, can we be guests on that show, or at least in the room listening? A guest on that show, if I put that show together, it just hit me. Why wouldn't I? Can you imagine how intriguing that would be to sit down? Heck, it's not like, I've always like, man, wouldn't it be great to get the Gambino family and the certain families to sit down, the bosses, and just like in a room and be able to talk and interview them all. I'm intrigued with that mafia stuff, as I've said on this show before, during who you would interview if you had four people at a table of four. But can you imagine sitting down there and people kind of telling the truth about what they were offered and what they got while they were in school? That belongs on TV, folks. Belongs on TV. I'm just the guy to put it on. Need a show like that. Shawnee Lately instead of Chelsea Lately. Let's go Shawnee Lately. I want Sean Salisbury unfiltered in a round table like Bill Maher or Chelsea. That's what I really want. I want to get a celebrity on. It's another show that I'd like to do. A celebrity on, you know, if it's a sports person, an athlete, a current athlete, a former, and have a round table where we can laugh and joke and do an hour show. Three nights a week, one night a week, whatever it is, and just really go hardcore. Be unfiltered, but get it out of them where you're talking, not this hardcore looking at each other in an interview and, well, what do you think? Well, we're going to give 100%. I'm talking about where you sit down with Charles Barkley. I'm just using him and say, Charles, when you went to Auburn, what did they offer you? Charles, tell the truth. That's what I'm talking about. Get an athlete on there, an actor on there who loves sports and can give it a perspective, and then maybe just a fan. Get a fan on there, too. A show like that, we got a fan, a celebrity, a jock, me, and somebody to host the show, but just getting it going. An hour show every day, for that matter. What a great show. You can hit every topic. Sports focus. Every now and then, maybe we have one bonus question at the end of the show. That just, you know, we talk about acting, or maybe we want to talk about politics, or you want to talk about has the president done well, you want to hit some race issue, you want to hit some gender issue, anything. Sports focus, round table, not a round table BS and where everybody's patting each other on the back, oh, you're great at this, Charles, man, you were a great dunker. I'm not talking about an ass-kissing session. I'm talking about an unfiltered sports talk with the truth about what's going on in people's lives, whether it's controversy, whether it's not, just to let it out there. You're going to tell me that doesn't belong on a television show with all this bullshit? You guys, I mean, you people will tune into Jersey Shore to watch that shit. I wouldn't watch 8 seconds of that to watch a bunch of people fighting, beating up, and turning this snooky girl into a superstar because they throw shit at each other and fight over boyfriends and bang each other and dance naked. I mean, and we watch this crap, and the ratings are through the roof. We create these reality show stars when, in essence, it's not reality. They create bullshit to put it on reality when it's not reality. Nobody lives their life like that. Yeah, we sit and I sit here and people say, I'm not judging you. If that's your program, that's fine. I've never seen it. I've watched clips of it. And I was, the clips I've seen, I said, who would sit and watch this shit? But I didn't know, I was reading on Facebook, and there must have been 500 posts on Facebook. Ooh, season opening at Jersey Shore. Can't wait. I'm like, what? So the truth is, to feed the nation, you don't really have to have a great show to get ratings and get paid and to turn somebody into a star. You really don't. Now, I know people say, watch Jersey Shore, and maybe you'll like, I've seen enough clips to know, no thanks. But you know what? Good for them. I don't know the guys with people's names on it. Everybody's got a nickname. The rest. I just know her because she gets to host parties now, and she's hosting things and on talk shows and giving the top 10 on Letterman. And I mean, crazy. Who is she? I don't know anything about her. I've looked at her. She's not good looking to me. But they go beat each other up. They cuss. I mean, and that's not reality. You don't. Oh, that's right, because they don't know the cameras are on them, so they don't actually go over and above and beyond. But we buy into the shit. Sponsor stuff on it, and they're all getting paid, and we've turned them into stars now. A girl named Snooki's a bigger star than I mean, she could walk into a bar and get more attention. Then, if you ever watched the show Leverage, Timothy Hutton, he's an Academy Award winner. If they walked into a bar in Vegas, do you realize more people talk to her that she would get a bigger red carpet treatment than he would? I use him as an example because some people don't know who Timothy Hutton is. Officer and a gentleman, won an Oscar. So my point is that I could take a show like this, we stick this on TV. The one I'm putting on TV is going to be somewhat similar to it. My man Mark McClure and I are going to kill it. But I'm saying you put a round table like this and do this together, you're going to tell me, folks, that we can't create enough controversy and talk that we can't steal some of Snooki's ratings? Hell, I got an idea. We'll put a girl with big tits and a round ass on there also, so guys can look at it, and we'll just, and who knows, you know, who's great at it too, who's got a hair that's about 7 feet tall. We'll turn her into a star. The truth is, I'd put a female on there, and I know some females like SEC girl who are good looking and smart and can talk sports. So you get to look at a good looking girl who can talk sports and smart and argue with the guys. Damn, wouldn't that work? Every girl I know seems to be out there in the world now that are graduating from college, wants to be a sports broadcaster. Let's put one on there and get a fan. Let's get out to Mark. I'm not sure where Mark is. Mark, what's up? Hello?
Hey, Sean, it's Mark McIntosh.
Hey, Mac, what's going on, buddy? I didn't know what Mark was. Mac, how are you, man?
I'm good, good. I haven't talked to you for a while. I hope you're doing well, man.
I'm doing great. Happy holidays to you. Guys, this is one of my very best friends from high school. Good, I appreciate it. And no better draw. He could draw you even if he didn't see you. This is the best there is. So what's going on, my man? How are you?
It's funny. I'm listening to this whole thing with the college thing, and, that'd be a great show to have players on and coaches on and recruiters on that, you know, from the past are kind of beyond the arms of reach and have them say what they're thinking. But, you know, it's funny. They're all doing it. I mean, it's no secret. I mean, it's a secret in a sense, but it's obvious, you know, if you just have your eyes open, you know.
Mac, you're so right. It's not a matter of if it's right or wrong. We know it's wrong. We know it's wrong, and it continues to evolve. But while the rules change, the cheating part changes.
Well, it's kind of like me. I watch the Tour de France all the time, bike racing.
Right.
All those guys are doping, and every time they try and go after one guy, they're all doing it. It's kind of the same thing, and I don't know. It's so obvious.
Mac, let's go through a few of these situations. Let's be honest about this. You talk about you're into it. You cycle and you love it and you're into it. And you know what? No offense to them, and they'll fight all they want. But you know what? To do what they do in the Tour de France, I don't think the human body can take it without it.
Well, yeah, I agree fully. And these two situations, I think, like the Tour, and there's other ones, but the Tour and the recruiting, if you're not doing it, you're not going to win. And recruiting, if you don't give these kids money like they're doing, they're not going to get the ones they need to get to win. I don't know how you fix it.
Like I said, it's not every recruit, it's not every guy, but it comes down to some guy choosing Auburn and Alabama, and if alumni, the front, I'm just using them as an example, or USC, UCLA, I don't know, but some rich alumni who's banking everything on and giving money to the school says, we're going to win, and says, well, who's your top two recruits? How are we going to get this kid? And sneakily walks over there and says, kid, here's a cashier's check or here's a cash for 30 grand. He's not going to turn it down.
Of course not.
He's not going to, most of the time. Mac, I want you to hold on. I'm going to, oh, the show's over, isn't it? Damn,
yeah,
Mac, will you call back tomorrow? We're going to continue this subject.
Okay, I'm going
to.
Well,
I want you to call back because I want to talk about this doping. It's the same thing with the wrestling and bodybuilding. I mean, you know what? The truth of the matter is, no, you're not lifting a 400-pound man ahead, bench pressing him 30 times. Using some supplement that's natural in the grocery store. Human body's not made for doing that every night. Mac, call in tomorrow when this subject starts, if you can, because I want to talk more about it. I think this is a great conversation that we got in too late. Fair enough?
I'll call you tomorrow.
I can't wait. Thanks, Mac. Mark McIntosh, one of my dear friends and one of the great people on the planet. As I finish this show up, keep this in mind. We're going to talk about this. And I am going to try to put a show together that allows you to understand SMU wasn't the only one that should have been hammered grabbing our ankles, folks. What a great show it'll make. We'll talk more about this. We've created it. There's got to be shows that can go on that you like, but you know what? Maybe I'll watch one thing at Jersey Shore so then I can criticize it even more. But power to the stars that are on it. They're getting paid. They're on to something. And I just think we're so full of it for watching some of the stuff we watch. See you tomorrow. CSI Dallas up next. We'll talk to you later. Bye, Snooki. This is Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.